Now, friends, we come today to the 10th chapter of Ezekiel, and we are in this section that began with chapter 8, goes through chapter 24, actually, and what we have here, we have a series of visions, and the visions rest largely upon that one in chapter 1, which was the vision of the glory of the Lord, and one that I suppose none of us can probe its full meaning. After all, we are touching on the infinite there. Now, we have seen in chapters 8 and 9 that this man Ezekiel was taken up and brought, I think supernaturally, to the city of Jerusalem to let him be able to see and to go back and report to the major portion of the nation that was already in captivity and were being told by the false prophets that they would return shortly, that everything was fine in Jerusalem. Now he's going to be able to go back and to tell why God is going to destroy the city or permit Nebuchadnezzar to do it, and why a judgment is coming upon them. And we saw last time that there certainly was sufficient proof for it. God let it be known. And I think it's well for us to see that the fact God judges, that's one of the evidences that we have of the living God today. God does move in the affairs of man. You don't get by with it. And the very fact that you don't get by with it is one of the proofs that God exists. And these wheels within wheels, the energy of God as he's moving in the affairs of man. Now, we are going to see the glory that was above the cherubim, or between the cherubim and the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And by the way, now in the temple, of course, as the temple supplanted the tabernacle, which was nothing more nor less than a tent. At this time, these people had what no other nation has ever had, and they had that which the church does not have today, the visible presence of God. One of the ways that Paul, over in the 9th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, identifies the nation Israel. He asks the question, who are Israelites? And he gives there about 8 different points of identification. And one of them is the glory. These people had the glory. And that is the visible presence of God. The Shekinah glory was there. And that is what Ezekiel saw in that first chapter. Now, we saw last time that the glory began to depart. And now, in this chapter, we're going to see that he continues his departure. The glory of the Lord begins to move out from the temple. We saw last time that he moves up from between the cherubim and hovers over the temple itself. Now, chapter 10, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, like the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spoke unto the man clothed with linen, and said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherubim, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubim, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now, the fact that he's to scatter these coals from off the altar. You see, that altar and between the cherubims was where the blood of the sacrifice was taken, put on the mercy seat. Now, these coals speak of judgment. The people have refused the grace of God, the mercy of God, the redemption of God, and he's been gracious unto them. Now they must bear the judgment. And friends, that's just as simple as that. God sent his son because he loves you, and because he's holy, he had to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. And he died on the cross. He is the propitiation. He is the mercy seat for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world as a mercy seat. And you can come to it. But now if you reject it, then the judgment of God must come upon you because Christ bore your judgment. That's the only way God forgives you. It's not because you're a sweet little boy or you a nice little Pollyanna glad girl. That's not the reason God saves you. You're a lost sinner. You're in rebellion against him. I don't know why we feel like we are superior people today. The best that we can say is we're saved sinners. I get a letter from a certain man, and he doesn't like for me to say I'm a saved sinner. He doesn't like that at all. Well, I want to say this. If he's saved, he's a saved sinner. The thing today is we don't like our beginning. We don't like that. Now, judgment is going to come on this city. And this is the city that, in fact, it's the center of the earth. It's the very navel of the earth. That's what God calls it. It'll be the center of the millennial kingdom, and it will be the eternal center for this earth down here. Someone has put it like this, speaking of Jerusalem and that land, and I've said it's the most sensitive piece of real estate on top side of the earth, and it's been put like this. Palestine became the nerve center of the earth in the days of Abraham. Later on, the country became the truth center because of Moses and the prophets. Ultimately, it became the salvation center by the manifestation of Christ. His rejection led to its becoming the storm center as it has continued to be throughout many centuries. The scriptures predict that it is to be the peace center under the messianic kingdom, and it will be the glory center in a new universe yet to be experienced. Now, you and I are seeing here, through the vision of Ezekiel, the departure of the glory from that city, the visible presence of God. But God has an eternal purpose in this city. Now, we are told here, verse 4, and I'm reading that now, "Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory." Now, as the Shekinah glory that was in the holy place, confined there, denoting the approach of these people to God, why, the glory leaves, apparently the holy place between the cherubims, and now hovers over the temple to see if the people will return to God. Now, verse 5, "And the sound of the cherubims' wings was heard even to the outer court like the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. It came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, Take fire from between the wheels from between the cherubim. Then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubim into the fire that was between the cherubim and took some of it and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubim the form of a man's hand under their wings." Now again, this hand denotes activity of God in performing certain things. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Fingerwork, actually. This universe is the fingerwork of God. Now, when God redeemed man, why, it was greater than creation. Because Isaiah said, "Who hath believed our report? and to whom is the bared arm of the Lord revealed? Now, the only way I can understand the work of God is to use a term that I'm acquainted with. I use my fingers to do certain things, my hands to do other tasks, and my arm to do even heavier tasks. Now, the greatest thing God has done is to perform the wonderful redemptive love displayed at the cross of Christ. That was his bared arm. Now, when God created the universe, he just used his fingers. Or as John Wesley put it, God created the universe and didn't even half try. Now, what we have here is the hand of God moving in judgment. Now, verse 9, and when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub, another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was like the color of a beryl stone. Now, I take it that the wheels were going around, and if you ever watched a wheel when it goes around, there's that flashing light, you know, like a precious stone. And I think these wheels are in ceaseless activity, and it speaks of the fact that God is busy. The Lord Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And he's been keeping very busy since he ascended back to heaven, because he has to keep us saved. And that's no easy job. Maybe not for you, but this for me. Verse 10, and as for the appearance, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place toward which the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. Now, God never has to come back, pick up something he forgot. He doesn't have to deviate from one side to the other. He never detours. He goes right forward today for the accomplishment of his purpose in the world. That's the vision that's here. It's a tremendous vision. Now, we're told here, verse 13, and as for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel, speaking to what we think is inanimate. But this is something else we're looking at. And every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second face was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. The fourth, the face of an eagle. Now, I know that it's highly figurative, and I would not want to press it, but I think you have the four gospels set before us here. I think that you have in the face of an eagle, you have deity represented. That's the gospel of John. The face of a lion, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the king in the gospel of Matthew. And the face of a man, that's the gospel of Luke. Now, the face of a cherub, that we have here, cherubim, that leaves Mark. And in Mark, he is the servant. He is the one who shed his blood. The ox is sometimes, it's in the picture, the figure and the vision we have in Revelation. He shed his blood that you and I might live. And the cherubim looked down upon the blood. In other words, he made a mercy seat for us. Now, verse 15, and the cherubim were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Kibar. Now, that was the first vision in chapter 1. And again, I must repeat that all of this, you see, goes back to chapter 1. Now, verse 18. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubim. Now, the glory of the Lord lifts up from the temple. He's leaving now the temple. Verse 19, and the cherubim lifted up their wings, mounted up from the earth in my sight. And he saw this as they mounted up. And as he moves out, and as for the likeness of their faces, this is verse 22, they were the same faces which I saw by the river of Kibar. Their appearances and themselves, they went every one straight forward. I think this is a vision that sets before us that God will become incarnate. Or as John put it, the Word became flesh.